This is a dispatch from the Institute of Magical Historicity. These dispatches come in from across our worldwide network in New York, Zurich, Rochester, Prague, and San Francisco. They are written and read by Institute President Benjamin Wax and scored by the Dean of Aesthetics, Ariel Cruz. They have been peer-reviewed for accuracy by the Council of Three and fact-checked by Institute staff. For more information, visit magicalhistoricity.com. A Brief History of Prosperity. A long time ago, long past the memories of your ancestors, there was a man born inside a hut in a land that was constantly on the verge of famine. He was a weak child, born with a slight limp, bright and clever, but also a dreamer. As he grew, he was not good toiling in the fields or managing the walls to guard against night raiders, but came into the voice of a lovely singer. The village had no use for another singer, even a very good one. But the people loved him, and his voice pleased them, and so they found a place for him, and gave him what food they could and what shelter they had, in exchange for his singing. Over the years, the village prospered, while the raiders starved, and it became a rich center of travel and trade. And it was then, when there was plenty for all, that the neighbors began to complain that they supported the singer. For with his limp and his dreaming ways, was he not useless? And did everyone not need to pull their weight and justify their living? And so the young man stopped his singing, packed what little he could carry, and limped away down the road, never to return. A few years went by, and the village mayor appointed his cruel son to take his place, and the son appointed his voracious friends to be judges and watchmen. And the village became a harsh and unforgiving place, filled with fear of those who were within its own walls. In another generation, it was starving again. A very long time ago, a young man with a limp and a pack on his back came to a city by the sea. He had no skills to speak of and was too weak to work in the harbors, but was given a bed and meals at a home for the destitute, run by the nuns of a nearby cathedral. He spent his days walking slowly around the city, stopping wherever he could find a seat, and writing poetry. One day, a dock worker sitting in a tavern asked what he was writing, and liked his poem so much that he bought him a beer. The poem was shared and became a favorite of the dock workers. A year later, the tavern was the center of a web of poets, and a few years after, the city was famous for its poems, inspired by the cadences of the sea and the rhythm of life on ships. It was visited by artists and their patrons from across the world. But as the city reached new prosperity, the rich began buying up every building and public space, the better to entice the money of foreign patrons. The pubs where the poets met closed, and the limping man was ejected from the park, and the home for the destitute was knocked down to make space for luxurious townhouses, and even the cathedral was turned into a museum. The limping man had no more place to stay, and so he boarded a ship and crossed the ocean. After a few years, the foreign princes and potentates grew bored and turned their eyes away, and the city's economy collapsed in a crash of bad debt and poor investments, and became a skeleton of itself. A limping man disembarked from a foreign ship docked at a struggling city filled with factories, and though he could not work with iron or steel, he spent his days clearing the parks and carving furniture for them by hand. And the city so appreciated this that it found him a room and gave him a stipend. The factories grew prosperous, and the people rich, and eventually they tore the parks down to make room for more factories, and to make cheap housing for immigrants brought to work for low wages. And the limping man hitched a ride on a trading caravan to the west. 10 years later, the air was too poisonous for the people to breathe, and the city was abandoned, the owners as ruined as the workers. A limping man left a caravan in a young city of mud, and the people there made a place for him to sit in their shanty cafes and draw pictures of the sunrises. The city became famous for its brilliant minds and innovative thinking. Once prosperous, they criminalized lingering and threatened to throw him in jail, so he threw himself aboard a southbound train. 5 years after he had gone, the town's brilliant inhabitants had turned on themselves, and it was a smoldering place of suspicion and brutality. A limping man got off a train in a nation of farms, and he spent his time building strange and elaborate sculptures between the fields, and the people were so inspired that they made him a civic leader and celebrated and fed him for almost 40 years. During that time, they banded together into unions and co-ops, and even during difficult seasons, the farms prospered and grew. But the grandchildren of the farmers who had welcomed him took the statues for granted, and so took away his titles and his home, and sent him off, limping down the highway with his thumb out. 2 generations later, all the farms were owned by one man, and all the other farmers were serfs, toiling in poverty. Some historians say these and 100 more are all different men. Some say that they are all one man, though no one knows how he has lived so long or continued his travels. Some describe him as a young man still, while others say that he is old now. They only agree that you can never recognize him, save by his affliction and penchant for frivolous and dreaming tasks. But this is the secret history of the rise and fall of cities and empires, known only to the wisest sages and prophets, who are rarely listened to by the lords of commerce and conflict, who think they rule the world. This has been a dispatch from the Institute of Magical Historicity. The Institute is headquartered in San Francisco with major offices in New York, Zurich, Rochester, and Prague. Dispatches are released twice a month on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other services, with additional dispatches provided exclusively to Institute members. Dispatches cannot be taken for credit, but can serve as course prerequisites. The Institute is a signatory to the Johannesburg Protocols and is in no way affiliated with Benjamin Winter or his estate. For more information, including a selection of workshops, books, artifacts, and certifications in magical historicity, visit magicalhistoricity.com. You can support the Institute or become a member on Patreon at patreon.com/magicalhistoricity.